Now, I draw a distinction between temptations and imaginations because temptations are real. Temptations come in real life situations. You see money, you want to go after it. That's real. That's right before your eyes. And there's lust. You see with your eyes and you desire what is God forbids. That's real temptation. But then the devil also works by the power of imagination. He puts things in your mind that are not real at all.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Thank you for the opportunity to bring to you the message of the gospel. And I trust that you will be blessed as we move again to Ephesians chapter 6, that chapter of the Christian armor, where the Apostle Paul takes his analogy from the equipment of the Roman soldier and applies it spiritually to the believer in Christ, the Christian who needs to stand against the wiles of the devil. And today again we're looking at the shield of faith. Faith is a tremendous gift. It is the thing that turns us from earthly creatures into heavenly-minded and rejoicing saints in the grace of the Lord our God and in our Lord Jesus. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak.
We also use the shield of faith when the devil tempts us to disobey God. Now, you can see the shade of difference here. You can say, oh, I believe in God. I just don't want to do what he says. And you're tempted to whittle down his commands. And you rationalize, God will bless me anyway. God's a God of grace. I don't need to worry about obeying his laws. Well, it's then that you take the shield of faith. He rewards the righteous. The blessed man is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, doing his will. Faith says, I believe God and I will obey God. Also, we take the shield of faith when the devil tempts us to follow our own lusts. To lust after something is to desire to have what God says is not ours to enjoy. Now, I don't say there's no enjoyment in sin. You ask the man in the street and the man in the pub and the man in the casino and the man in the places of iniquity and says, are you enjoying yourself? They would say, oh boy, am I ever having a wonderful time on the broad road to hell. The devil ensures that the way to hell is smooth. You can skate all the way to destruction because the way to a lost eternity is made so easy by the wicked one. But for the Christian, when we are tempted to go in those things and do those things, we must take the shield of faith. And the Bible says this, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Abhor sin. It should be repugnant. It should be so wicked in your eyes, and through the lens of faith, you see sin as God sees it. You see sin as Christ had to pay for it on the cross. It cost him his suffering, his blood, his death. Sin did that to my Savior. And with the shield of faith, I hate sin. I cannot accommodate it. Anselm, one of the early fathers of the church, said that if he should see the shame of sin in one hand and the pains of hell on the other, and must of necessity choose one, he would rather be thrust into hell without sin than go to heaven with sin. Do you hate sin that much? Most people say, well, the gospel is just a bit of a fire extinguisher. to make sure I can somehow get into heaven. No, faith says the gospel purifies, redeems, washes, cleanses from all sin. Would it take the shield of faith when the devil tempts us to harm a brother in Christ? Why would I mention that? Because the Bible tells us that the devil is a murderer from the beginning. Excuse me while I fix this thing, which is tormenting me badly. Hopefully I got it. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. He murders. He murders people's reputation. He destroys people's testimonies. He destroys their bodies. And he would burn them in hell. That's the devil. He's a murderer from the beginning. And he puts thoughts in the hearts of God's people to offend, trip up, that would destroy a brother. The blood of Jesus was shed for his people, and the Lord said, "Destroy not thy brother for whom Christ died." And when the enemy comes to drive a division and create problems between fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you can be sure that's the devil's work. That's the devil's work. That did not come from heaven. That thought was not from the Lord. You didn't get that at the throne of grace. It came from the school of darkness. And it needs to be recognized. And then we take the shield of faith. We take the shield of faith also when the devil tempts us to abuse position of trust. God is good. God lifts up, doesn't pull down. He takes the sinner out of the miry clay and he sets him on his feet, puts a new song in his mouth, plants him, grows him, encourages him, and Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs that God blesseth the righteous, destroys the wicked. And when God lifts up, then the devil seeks to pull down. Now, the devil may not attack a foot soldier the way he attacks a commander in the army. The foot soldier, of course, he's in the front line and facing the heat of the battle. The general or the commander might be in the bunker in relative safety. And he might think nothing can harm me here. And he may not take the shield of faith. But the Bible warns us, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Someone said that it's more difficult to carry a glass of water when it's full than when it's half empty. And if in some way God has promoted you, and you're twice the man or woman you are today than you were years ago, you still need the shield of faith. You need to be protected against the attacks of the enemy, lest he destroys you and pulls you down. The Lord has promised, of course, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee." Isn't that a great promise? That's how Joshua was to begin his service, leading the children of Israel across the Jordan, conquering the land. Those were great days for Israel. And the Lord said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee." He needed the shield of faith. He needed to be protected against the enemy, and so do we. And so he protects us from temptations. Now I come to the question, are you taking the shield of faith?
Are you in the Word, leaning on the promises of God? Are you walking each day in dependence on God's Word in your soul? Are you memorizing Scripture? Are you getting that Word into your life? Are you in prayer saying, Lord, keep me, guard me. I'm trusting in your protection. That's the real walk of the Christian who is taking the shield of faith. Now, lastly, and I rush on here, that faith can help us fight off Satan's imaginations. Now, I draw a distinction between temptations and imaginations because temptations are real. Temptations come in real life situations. You see money, you want to go after it. That's real. That's right before your eyes. There's lust. You see with your eyes and you desire what is God forbids. That's real temptation. But then the devil also works by the power of imagination. He puts things in your mind that are not real at all. They're so far from the truth and from reality. Imaginations are things that don't exist, but Satan plays tricks on your mind. He uses offenses. And people become offended because, well, I know what he thinks of me. Whew, that's dangerous. How do you know? Have you real evidence that he has become your enemy? Or have you just allowed the devil to put thoughts and imaginations in your mind that are really off the wall and so far off the mark? Offenses. You have no evidence. But you say, but I know. And Satan can use that imagination to trip you up. Oppositions. Someone may be standing on pure principle and defending a particular truth or value that he sees clearly, but you see it as he's just trying to make life difficult for you. It's a matter of perspective. And the devil comes in with the whispering thought, he's just opposing you. Against those things, you need the shield of faith. And this is all part of people trying to work together. And it can apply in your marriage. You can get the impression, the idea, you can be imagine that your spouse, your husband, or your wife is turned against you, is no longer your soulmate. And sometimes it's based on pure imagination. The devil is so ugly and horrible in his methods that he will play on that. It can happen in the workplace. Relations can break down because people imagine things. And it happens in the church. My pastor doesn't really love me anymore. And he was preaching about me. You know, the number of times that I get a phone call and someone says, were you preaching about me? I said, I wasn't thinking of you at all. But it's in the mind. It's in the mind. And the thoughts that must have been in that mind before they made the phone call, I can't tell. And the devil can use that. It can happen in families. And at the end of the day, all of these things are just in the person's head. Satan might use coincidences. You put two and two together, and instead of four, you get 22. You just get out of range altogether. And against those things, you need the shield of faith. Now, how does the shield of faith guard us against imaginations? Because we have in the Bible absolute truth. Things that are fixed, concrete. My opinions, my notions come and go. But in the Bible, we have absolute truth. And those little things, they're just midgets. They don't count whatsoever. They will not last an eternity. They will make no difference. And you as a Christian need discernment to understand when things are indifferent, make no difference, and the things that really count. And the things that really count is that we're to work for the peace of God and for the grace of God. Now, using the imagination, one more example here. I actually have two more. One is opportunists. Opportunists. Have you heard the saying that the grass is greener on the other side? You can get that in your head, can't you? And there are some people, they actually leave the church because they think it's better over there. The grass is greener on the other side. And a shiftiness, and a discontent can creep in. I shouldn't be here. I need to be in the other place. Oh, the devil is a subtle foe, working, playing on the imagination. And then the other one is opining or whining, a loss of confidence. Now, for this, I want to turn you to a text in 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And this is applicable, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, we're talking about the mind. We're talking about imaginations. It's talking about the spirit of fear. These are the things that the devil would plant. These are the things that could crop up in your mind. And the Lord, in his word, is saying here, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's not of God, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you'll notice that if you allow a spirit of fear to creep in and abide in your heart, what does it lead to? Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Shame, a lack of confidence, fear, and it's unbelief. It's denying the truth. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I notice a little marginal reference there. Soberness. Soberness. Stability. Strength of character. That's God's gift. The devil wants to whittle it down. He wants to weaken you. He wants to create instability. He wants to leave you in fear. And he wants to deny you of the power that God gives to his people. And so we're told to take the shield of faith and let these truths dwell within your heart and within your soul. And I didn't get to preach the other half of the text, which talks about quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is our fire extinguisher. And as those arrows come as balls of fire in the air and would land on us, we take the shield of faith to withstand, to oppose, and to protect ourselves against those attacks, that we are prevented from being unstable, filled with fear, made to work in doubt. We have the shield of faith. Now, are you using the shield of faith? That becomes the question. Are you using the shield of faith?
Faith comes by the Word of God. Faith comes by confidence in this book. But you have to say, I believe God and I believe His Word. When the tempter comes with his assaults, you take the shield of faith and say, I believe God, I believe His Word. Those things are not for me. That will make you strong. That will enable you to stand in the evil day, because faith will strengthen your mind. You'll quench the fiery darts. You'll turn them away. And you will be a conquering Christian. Now, this has been a bit of a tough sermon, hasn't it? This sermon is not for the feeble. But I know my people in this congregation, and I know that you want to live for God, and I know that you want the victory, and I know that you want to live according to the Bible and keep His Word. And so these things will help us. But we need to use the shield of faith. And I trust that this week that you will be putting into practice what we learn here in this exhortation, taking, above all, this is vital, above all, taking, making use of the shield of faith. If you're a Christian, this is the way to victory. Get to the book. Go to prayer. Don't live in fear, in doubt and fear of the devil. But live by faith. Faith in His Word, faith in the gospel. And may the Lord pour in His power into your heart and into your life. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, well, I need to preach this all over again to you. If you want to talk after the service, I'd be happy to share the gospel of salvation with you. You may have heard my short talk on my brand new King James Version Cambridge Bible. I had five reasons to stick with the KJV. Well, today I want to introduce you to a KJV study Bible. This is put out by Heritage Books and is a perfect Bible for every Christian home and every Bible student. So, don't go away. Give me a few minutes of your time to introduce you to this KJV study Bible. You'll be glad you did. First off, this is a decent-sized Bible, which is truly crammed full of good, solid information. But it is not overwhelming as you flip each page. On each page, there are helps with the text of Scripture to open up words and idioms that might burden the first-time reader of the KJV. At the end of each Bible chapter is a short devotional with thoughts and questions to stimulate the reader, which makes this excellent for family reading. At the back of the Bible is a concordance to help you find locations and themes or key Bible words. I really like the section on how to live as a Christian. Here are just five of the 32 one-page subjects to help you live the Christian life. Coming to Christ, united with Christ, experiencing justification and adoption, growing in sanctification, assured and persevering, Bible reading, why and how we pray, and family worship. Then there is a section on 20 centuries of church history, with one page on each century. These historic summaries are invaluable and should be read and reread by every Christian. It puts so much church history at your fingertips.
The KJV Study Bible also contains the full text of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1647, with larger and shorter catechisms, and along with other helps, it has a Bible reading plan for the whole year. This is a Bible I can highly recommend, all in one volume, which is incredible and made possible by its high-quality paper. This is the Reformation Heritage King James Version Study Bible and is available at heritagebooks.org. Just tell them I recommended it and ask for your discount. You never know. There's no harm in asking. I'm recommending this Bible to you because I want to encourage you to be a thorough Bible student. Don't just flick through the Bible. Get into it. And I'm certain that if you do have a King James Study Bible, the Reformation Study Bible, that it will help you to get good, solid information that will help you to comprehend the Word of God and strengthen you in your faith. The book of Hebrews 4:12 says that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And so this Bible will search you as you search the Bible. It will reveal sin to you, and it will bring you under conviction of sin. That's the power of God's Word. And for that reason, many people don't want to read it because they don't want to face up to what they are, how they are living. But God speaks very powerfully in His own Word. And it's important that you don't get your information secondhand. This is a study Bible, not to replace the Bible, but to help you dig into the Scriptures of truth. And so I do hope that this will be an encouragement to you. And whether you have this study Bible or not, well, be a Bible student, be a Bible reader every day, and let God feed your soul on His own Word. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.